So Ephesians 5, I trust you got a worksheet. We're ready to get started. Ephesians 5, I'll begin in verse 22. You follow along, and I'll read down to chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter number 5, I'll begin in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let me just stop and kind of back up to a lesson we taught a few weeks ago, just so that I don't think you have an issue with it, but I know this really puts the world in a tizzy. They just go spastic when they hear us talk like this. But the idea of wives being submissive to their husbands is biblical. There's not supposed to be multiple leaders, divided leadership. That's what I mean by that, divided leadership in the home. Now, I know what the world says, and I even know what fellow believers say. They think it's unfair. They think it's old-fashioned. They think it's Middle Ages. I mean, there's a lot of ways they describe it that are not very positive. But it's still biblical. That's what the Bible has set it up. Now, if you remember, you may remember this. There was a few years ago, God had a big conference, and he asked everyone their opinion. Remember that? No, because it didn't happen. Okay. Before there ever was a world, God already set up what he wanted in the home. Before there was an Adam, before there was an Eve, there was a God who said, here's how it's going to be. Now I'm going to create you, but I already know what I want. Now, I think one of the problems we have with that is that the understanding is, which is false, that somehow that God is setting up where man is an ogre and woman is this weak little thing that is, you know, like a slave. That is not the way God is setting it up. How do I know that? Well, look at the next verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I tell you who gets the worst end of the deal in this whole salvation part? God does. This is what it costs God to save you. What did you have to do? Compared to what Christ had to do, what did you have to do? Basically nothing except open your mouth and ask him to save you. I know you had to, you know, put your faith in him. I'm not taking anything away from the plan of salvation, but I'm talking about in comparison, God did a lot, man did very little. And God says, that's the pattern in the home. Man's the leader, yeah. So you take it on the chin. You make it happen. You sacrifice. You put the hard work in. Well, but what if she won't listen? Tough. You know, God is against divorce. And God says, well, you know, as long as it works out, stay together. He says, no, you stay together. Well, what if she's not everything I thought she would be? Can I tell you this? You're not everything God wants you to be either. And God hasn't given up on you. And so I think we go two different ways on this. One is that we think that, well, now it's 2020, you know, this whole idea of wives being submissive should be taken out. No, because it's in the Bible. Number two, husbands are never given this ogreship where they can sit around and say, wife, where's my coffee? Wife, where's my toast? Slipper. Yeah, you know the deal. Wife, where's... Okay. That is not the way it's set up. Let's continue on. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we began this particular lesson. Our first point was, and we'll just get right into the lesson. I'm not going to we're not going to go all the introduction and all that because we're already into the lesson. Point one that we talked about previously was children ought to be taught what? Obedience. Correct. Good. You got it right. Children ought to be taught obedience. That was the first lesson. Now we're into the second lesson, which is number two, the big two now. Children are to honor their parents. That's what verse 2 says, isn't it? Honor thy father and mother. Now notice what it says. It says, honor thy, what's the next word? Father. Is there any adjective before the word father? No. Some say, well, you know, my father isn't all that he should have been. You honor him. Well, my mom, you know, you don't know what my mom was like. But the Bible says you honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so children are to honor their parents. Now, obey is different than honor. I think we understand that. And I think one reason we separate these lessons is so that we already talked about obedience. Now we're talking about honoring. There is a connection, but there is a big difference as well. The word obey means to listen and to conform. That's obedience. You hear what your parents say and you conform to it. You do what they say. That's obey. The word honor, now I want you to understand this, the word honor means to value and to prize. I'm not just doing what they're saying, I'm not just conforming to their wishes, but I'm showing value to them. I'm prizing who they are. Now, if I can just go off onto a little side thing here. You know, we talk about America, we talk about revival, and we said one of the things, and when we say revival, I hope you understand, revival applies to believers, not to unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot experience revival. You say, well, why not? Because it's revive. They've not been vived yet. They've not been made alive. They can't be revived until they're vived. They're going to be born again. That's the viving. That's bringing life to where there's death. We already have life. We're already born again. We need to kind of get with it, returning back. Revival is basically going back to how it was. Remember, you got saved. You're happy in Jesus. You're excited. And then you kind of got away from it. And now we got to get back to it. That's the revival. And so we talk about revival. Revival is mainly, now it affects unbelievers. It should result in unbelievers getting saved. It should result in an impact on unbelievers. But the revival itself is for believers. So when we talk about revival, we're talking about believers getting back where they need to be, returning back to the Lord, rejoicing back in the Lord. But also in this same conversation we have about revival, we talk about the need of America to return back to biblical morality. Now, our country was never perfect because it's made up of people, and people are sinners. So I'm not saying there was a day back in 1776 when everyone loved Jesus, everyone was saved, everyone went to church, everyone was perfect. Okay, that was not what happened in 1776. Okay, I can mention one name to prove that not to be true. Ben Franklin. I appreciate his patriotism, his love for the nation, all that he did, but Ben Franklin is not a role model as far as lifestyle. I mean, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so he's not a great role model in that way. Other areas may be so, but not as far as morality is concerned in specific areas we won't delve deep into. So when we think about returning back to biblical morality, one of the things we're talking about is this idea about honoring mothers and fathers. America was better off when America lived by biblical morality. Even unbelievers. We're a much better nation when unbelievers understood how God expected, even if they weren't born again, still they were taught these things from a youth, and you saw these things reflected even in the life of unbelievers. Now, we're obviously not talking about work salvation. Just because they have biblical morality doesn't mean they're going to heaven. You got to be born again. Nor are we saying that we're trying to moralize America, because America doesn't need moralize, it needs evangelize. Okay, that's the key. But wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a country that had biblical morality? Wouldn't it be kind of a nice country to live in? And so when we think about biblical morality, part of that is this returning back to the understanding that we honor those who we're supposed to be honoring, which includes our parents. So what does it mean to honor our parents? I'm going to give you several aspects about this to try to help us understand what does it mean to show them honor, to honor our parents. The first thing is this: we honor our parents by obeying them. So I told you there's two different things, obeying and honoring, but I also told you they're kind of connected, and one of the ways they're connected is we honor them by obeying them. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Now, if you already are formulating this, don't get ahead of me. There is a but we're not there yet. Luke 6. Look with me in verse 46. So we're trying to establish a thought, and then we'll talk about a little bit more of the application, especially now that if you're thinking about an adult child. Luke chapter 6, look with me in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? In other words, why you show me some type of honor, some type of respect, reverence that way? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, that honor absent of obedience is really no honor. If you're not going to obey me, then you're really not honoring me. So we honor our parents by obeying them. Now, watch this. It is possible that a child may no longer have the responsibility to obey his parents. Okay, that I understand that is true, especially when you think about it getting into adulthood. But he will always have the responsibility to honor them. You're never free from that responsibility. Now, I think that's important that we understand. Thus, we may do what they tell us, not out of obedience, but out of a desire to show them honor. Now, let me explain a little bit, because I want to look at this in a couple different ways. Now, most of you know, my dad died when I was 7. My mom passed away 3 years ago. I believe it has been now 3 years. Now, so when I say this, obviously it can't happen because my parents are both dead. But let's say back when my parents were alive, and my mom lived way down Mississippi, so it didn't really apply then because it didn't really work. But let's just say she was alive and I lived near her, okay, just for the sake of this illustration. And my mom called me and said, "Denny, you get here and rake these leaves up. They're all over the yard." Now, I don't have the direct responsibility to obey that command. I have my own family. I have left my home. I'm an adult. I am now raising my family. So I don't have the direct responsibility to obey them. But, you know, if my mom called me, what I would do? I'd go rake the leaves because I want to show her honor. Now, obviously, if it's in the middle of a church or some service, I'm not going to do that. I mean, unless there's some reason I can't, I would do what she told me to do because I want to show her honor. Not that I have that responsibility to obey her, but I love my mom and I want to know that her, that I value her and I prize who she is in my life. And so even if we don't have a direct responsibility to obey because of somehow now that we're older, we're out of the house, we still should always want to show them honor. And sometimes we obey them not because we're commanded Ephesians 6:1 may no longer apply in our situation, but Ephesians 6:2 still applies, and I want to show them her honor, or if my dad was alive, him honor. So I would still do it. As long as it's something I could do. Now, watch. Additionally, because there may be situations when you can't do it. You say, well, there's some things they want me to do things that I just couldn't do because maybe my conscience wouldn't allow me to do it. I'll give you an example. When my mom was alive, I was down visiting her, and my mom said to me, my mom smoked up probably until the day she died. My mom smoked. My mom started smoking at 7 or 8 years of age. She smoked probably until the day she died. And that's one of the reasons that, well, she died at 83, so it didn't really technically shorten her life, but it did shorten some of the quality of her life at the end. Now, when I was there visiting her once, and my mom was, she would ask me to do this or that. My mom was always busy doing things, and if you're around, she'd get you doing things. And so she said, "Hey, can you help me with this? Can you do this?" And she said, "Hey, can you run to the store and get this?" And one day she asked me this. She said to me, she said, "Denny, would you mind going up to the store and getting me a pack of cigarettes?" I said, "Mom, I'll buy you anything at the store, but I won't buy you cigarettes."
She said, okay. And then she said, well, will you drive me up there so I can buy them? I said, sure, I'll drive you up there. You can buy what you want. I mean, you're an adult. You do what you want. I'll drive you up there, but I ain't buying them. Now, watch. I could not, in good conscience, go buy cigarettes for my mom. But even in those situations, we should still be respectful how we say no. What's wrong with you, lady? You owe nothing, no better. I'm a preacher. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. No, that's not what I did. You know why? She's my mom. And I want her to know that I value. Now, I'm not going to violate what I think is, I'm not going to do wrong in that way. I'm not going to violate a principle or a standard or a conviction I have. But I am going to try to show her honor even when I can't do it. I still want her to know that I value her. So even if we can't obey them, there still should be honor shown to them. Our parents, now watch this, our parents should be clear. Even now we're adults, our parents, and this is very much true if you're not an adult and you're young, this should be very much true. But even as adults, our parents should be clear that we love and reverence them, even if we can't go along with them. So we honor our parents by obeying them. That's the first thing we look at. Let's look at it one more way or another way. Go with me to John chapter 8. So we're trying to value them. We're trying to prize them. And I will repeat what I said a moment ago. I believe that this type of morality is what our country is missing. This type of honor showing to our parents, to elders, to those in authority, to those who we should be respectful to. And I also believe this, it begins in the home. If you want to have adults who show honor, then they need to be taught as kids to show honor. When I was a kid, I was required, and I'm not saying you have to do this. I can't tell you scripturally that this has to be done, but I'll just tell you what my mom did. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, you know that. But my mom had a certain thought about how kids should behave, and she let her kids know that, and she had a way of reminding you when that behavior was not up to what she thought it should be. It had to do with back of her hand and side of your head. So my mom was very clear in those things. But when I was home, I was required to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. I never went to people who were, as a kid, I never went to elders, who was anyone who was an adult, and called. If I ever called an adult by the first name, my mom would have went. I went, oh, sorry, mom, I won't move out of again. I'll be back. I've got to go find my teeth. You were someone to show honor and respect. That's what my mom expected. That's how she was raised. And I think that makes for a better nation. So we honor our parents by obeying them. Now we're in John chapter 8. Look with me in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man, watch this, keep my saying, he shall never see death. And said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil, Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Notice that, keep his saying. Now, this is similar to obedience, but notice the honor he's showing, not just obeying him, but the honor he's showing God and what God has said to him. So that brings us to our second thought. Within this, and that is this, we honor our parents by valuing their teaching. By valuing their teaching. God the Son honored God the Father because he kept his saying. He put, not just the obedience of it, but the value he put on it. That this was what was important, that others should know about these things. He said, what I've heard is what I'm telling you. What the Father's told me, I'm telling you. What I was taught, I'm telling you. So he put value upon those teachings. Now watch this.
We may not have a perfect father like Jesus did, nor have a perfect son like God the Father had, but we can still honor our parents by valuing what they taught us. Now let's look at this two ways. Because the one that's not so obvious we'll look at first, and that's if your parents were unsaved. So, well, Pastor, why I didn't grow up in a Christian home? I mean, if they had taught me the Word of God, if they had taught me the Bible, boy, I would have honored that. But they didn't tell me that. They didn't teach me that. But I tell you this, most likely they taught you something. I mean, the fact that you're here tonight speaks something about your parents. You say, well, my parents had nothing to do with it. You may be surprised they had something to do with it. So if you had unsaved parents, now watch this. If you had unsaved parents, they may not have taught you truths from the Bible, but they taught you truths about life because they wanted you to be forewarned or prepared for life. I know there's always a few examples where the parents are just nutso, and we sometimes talk about that because they're so unusual. But the usual parent, even if the parent's unsaved, they love their children. If you came, if you grew up in an unsaved family, didn't your parents love you? They may not have been able to express it the way you wanted to express it. Maybe they didn't love you the way the Bible commands them to, but they tried. They made some effort. They were concerned. They put food on your table. They put a roof over your head. They put clothes on your back. They tried to protect you from the evils of this world or from harm. So there was a concern and a compassion. There was love being shown to you. So we may have unsaved parents, but they still taught us something about life because they were concerned about us. Go with me to Proverbs 23. Now again, we're looking at this idea of honoring them. I think sometimes we don't, as saved people, we may not honor our parents. If our parents are unsaved, we may not honor them as much as we should have because, you know, they didn't go to church, they didn't believe like we believe, but, you know, there is some way you can still honor them for what they have done. Proverbs 23, look with me in verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Let's keep on reading down to the end of the chapter. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now notice the warning here. Now obviously this is from Scripture, but you could see this would be warnings that even an unsaved parent could give to a child. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, that shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. When I was a kid, again, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I can tell you, I'm thinking, I won't go into it deep for obvious reasons, but I can think of a specific situation where there was a girl I liked. She was not a girl I should have liked. And my mom and my stepfather was very clear that it was a girl I should not like. They very clearly described that girl in very, kind of like what Proverbs is saying, very graphically described why this was a bad girl and told me, if I ever see you around this girl, no one will ever see you again. I took them at their word. My mom said to me, she said, now, everyone in my family drank. In fact, I was allowed to drink, which is kind of strange based on that Proverbs right there. But drugs was a no-no. My mom said, if I ever catch you with drugs, I will beat you to an inch of your life. Now, you got to understand, I had a righteous fear of my mom. As a five-year-old boy, I watched my mom and another lady fight in the middle of the street. My mom taking this lady and banging her head in the road. I knew my mom. I'm like, as a five-year-old, I'm like, just took the popcorn out. This is cool, man. Must watch TV here. Okay, my mom was a howdy doody and Adolf Hitler. I just wanted to stay on the howdy doody side, because the Adolf Hitler side was a bad side to be on. Now, my mom taught me some moral. Now, I really wish, you know, sit down to the Bible and explain it, say it lovingly, say it nicely, but okay, that didn't happen. But let me tell you, she did warn me, and she protected me in the way that she protected me. It might not have been the best way, but it did protect me, and I can be thankful for that. I think it had been probably overall better if I was in church and all those other things, more so, other than just riding the bus once a week, but she did what she did, and I can be thankful for that. So those lessons may not have been taught lovingly or even purposefully. Now, my mom was very loving. I kid around, but she was very loving, but she was very clear about what she would do if you violated what she told you not to do. Those lessons may not have been taught lovingly or even purposefully. And sometimes you learn things maybe not, they sat down and said it, you just, because things that you weren't allowed to do or things that they told you that you, off on the, maybe even offhandedly you learned about. But they were important lessons that helped you. So as such, now I'm talking about unsaved parents, you can honor your parents by expressing the value of those lessons. I'll give you one that's I've used before. One thing my mom taught me, and I kind of alluded to when I was there, even as an adult, she was always busy. She was always a project going on. My mom taught me to work. We were talking about, I was talking to Dale, or Dale was telling, me and Dale was talking. He mentioned about a cartoon. Now, I wasn't familiar with it. The cartoon I'm familiar with is Bugs Bunny. Now, I kind of knew it, but it's not something I watch. I watch Bugs Bunny. And the worst thing, Saturday morning, especially during the summer when there's no school, because, summer is meant to sit there and watch Bugs Bunny every Saturday. That's my thought. My mom was, she was up, and you kind of had to know. When my mom's coming in, you kind of walk back into your bedroom till she gets, and then you kind of work to the TV. You kind of had to have a system. But every now and then she would surprise us. She's outside working. I should have been out. I know I should have been a better son. It was Saturday morning. It was Bugs Bunny. I'm sitting there eating my Fruit Loops, watching Bugs Bunny. Oh, man, I just spit. Oh, that's all right. I'm eating my Fruit Loops. And then my mom would come in, and she'd say, she always called me and my brother's man. She'd say, man, what are you doing? Watching Bugs Bunny? No, you need to come out here and help me. I'm building X. I'm fixing X. I'm tearing down X. I'm putting up X. I'm painting X. I'm scraping the paint off of. There's always something going on Saturday morning. Now, you know what? I hated that as a kid, but it was a valuable lesson as an adult. Work hard. You just got to keep working and keep working and keep working. Lazy people aren't going to get anywhere. It's the hard worker. The diligent hand shall bear rule. And I told my mom later in life, I said, I think the greatest lesson you ever taught me was the value of work. And so we honor them by expressing that to them. We can say, you taught me this, or you warned me about this, or you helped me to stay away from this, and you can show them how much you prize them or what value they have as we remind them of the lessons they taught us. Even as unsaved parents, that can be true. Now, if you had saved parents, which is the other side now, that taught you truths from the Bible, you should highly value those truths and your parents who taught them to you. If you had saved parents, or if right now you have saved parents, and they're teaching you truths from the Word of God, you have an opportunity that most wish they have but do not have. Most young people don't have the opportunity to sit in a Christian home being taught the Word of God by Christian parents. That is such a small group. You ought to every night say, thank you, Jesus, that I am in this elite group of young people who parents are saved and they love you and they're trying to teach me the Word of God. What a great blessing that is. Now, you may not appreciate at this moment or agree with how these things are being taught or were taught, but you should value that you were taught and your parents' willingness to teach them to you. Yeah, I remember as a kid, it's kind of embarrassing to say in some ways, but when I was a kid, this is before I was called to preach, And I was probably, I don't know, ninth grade, something like that, maybe eighth grade. And I remember one day I said, you know, wouldn't it be kind of strange to go to a school where they taught the Word of God and you had to be a Christian to go there? And wouldn't it be kind of strange, you know, and you, let's say you lived in a home and you know, the whole family went to church and you prayed before every meal and maybe at night the parents would open the Bible and read the Bible to you? I said, man, that would be weird. And then I remember, this is what I said. I said, nah, there's no such thing as that. That's just fantasy. And then after I got involved, like when I went to Bible college and realized I'm talking to kids who came from that. I'm sitting in Bible college. And, hey, who are you? Oh, well, my name is Bob. Well, Bob, it's good to meet you. My name is Dennis. And we start talking. He tells me he comes from a Christian school. Well, what's a Christian school? And they start describing to you. And they tell me about the home life. And I'm thinking, wow, that's what I wish I had. And all they do was complaining about it. Yeah, we had to go to church, and we had to dress like this, and we had it, and we had it, and we had it. And I'm thinking, you got to do all of that? Man, how blessed are you? And all they could do was complain and whine about it. And it shouldn't be us. We should be thankful. If you grew up in a Christian home, you ought to be so thankful. What a great blessing that is. Many never have ever had that. So that's the first idea. We honor our parents by obeying them. The second idea, we honor our parents by valuing their teaching. And then there's a third thought about honoring our parents. Go with me to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 4. Now this is probably one we don't think about until we get older. We kind of know about it, but we don't really think about it. It's one of those things that you just kind of know, but you don't really spend much energy or thought into it. And then you get older and you find out, man, this is very true. And probably we all should have done better when we were younger thinking about it and being more prepared for it. It's one of those things that, not for everyone, but some of us, it catches us unprepared. That brings us to 1 Timothy 5. Look with me in verse 4. Let me see, is that where, that's where I want to be, but that's not where I'm at, sorry. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. It would help if I turn a couple pages over. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look with me in verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In other words, let the children take care of their elderly parents. That's the idea. Drop down to verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, then you can go back and read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick out a couple verses. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, now it said in also in connection now, taking care of your elderly parents here, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So that brings us to the third way we honor our parents, and that is this. We honor our parents by caring for their needs. And I'm thinking mostly as their elderly parents. It's hard to imagine your parents being old and not taking care of themselves, because you always remember them when they were young and vibrant, you know, when they're doing everything with you. And sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that we're going to be in that. I cannot imagine me ever, okay, this may be the case, I just can't imagine me ever going, hey, Bethany, how you doing? Hang on there. I'm coming. Okay, I'm not trying to be unkind to anyone, but it's hard for me to imagine, because, you know, I just, look at me, look how young and vibrant I am. I mean, I'm 39, I mean, look how young and vibrant. Okay, I'm not 39, but I'm still young and vibrant. But there comes a day, whether it's us or our parents, get to that point. And we have to be thoughtful of it. And sometimes they don't always want to ask, because they still are like us, where, yeah, I'm young and vibrant. No, you're not, you need help. And so we honor our parents by caring for their needs. Now, let me show you something that Jesus dealt with. Go with me to Matthew 15. There's a couple different ways we could go. And this could be would probably be a good lesson in and of itself. But I'm going to look at it in one specific vein, one particular vein. Matthew 15. You almost have to pick one in order to go down a path, or there'd just be too much to cover. So I'm going to look at it in this one specific vein. Matthew 15, look with me in verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now that curse would mean, I think, verbally, but it's also the idea of cursing them as you're not taking care of them, you're neglecting them. It was a broader thing other than just the words. It was a much broader application. If you go back to the Old Testament, what he's drawing from there. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, so that's what God said, but now here's what these Pharisees are saying. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his parent, to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, I can tell you, for a long time I read that, and I was like, I have no idea. It didn't really make sense. I just said, well, it's in the Bible. I believe it. Lord, help me understand it someday. So, over the period of time, as I've tried to come to understand that, let me try to explain it to you so you understand what's going on here. The Jewish leaders allowed their children, adult children, to neglect their parents. Because this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, you're supposed to honor your father and mother, but you're making that commandment of no effect, no impact, because they're saying it is a gift by whatever you could really profit from me. Now, the gift isn't going to the parents, which is what my confusion was. I'm like, well, you're giving them a gift, however it would profit. But that's not what he's saying. The Jewish leaders allow children to neglect their parents by claiming, now watch this, that their wealth, the wealth of the children, was given as a vow to God. So the child would say this, you know, Dad, I have so, because you're so much older, I'll use you. Dad, I really want to help you, but you know, all that money I have, I made a vow to God that I only use it for God. I mean, I would really want, I love you. I want to help you. I can't. You got to understand. And the Jewish leader said, well, you know, if you made a vow to God, it's God, so you don't have to help him. But funny enough, what would happen is, what happens when Dad dies? Well, you know, I got all this wealth here. And they would use it for other things. And Jesus said, you are neglecting your parents, using God as an excuse for it. And he uses that command because if God commanded you to honor your parents, would not, even if you made that vow, would not that be using it for God if you're using it the way God told you to use it? And Jesus said, you're not out of this. You are twisting the scripture so that you can hold on to your money and not take care of it. The driving force of what you're doing is not dedication to God, but a selfishness. And Jesus saw right through it, and he zeroed in on it, and he said, you have made the command of God of none effect because of what you're allowing to happen that should not happen. Because the question would be this, if it was God's, why do you have it? See, Jesus saw through it. If this is really God's, why is it in your bank account? Why is it still accessible by you? Because if it was really God's, it should be in the temple storehouse, not in your bank account. So Jesus saw right through it. So the Jewish leaders allowed the children to neglect their parents by claiming their wealth was given as a vow to God so that it couldn't be given to the parents. It got out of it. So Jesus was telling them, now watch this, that honoring the parents was honoring God. So it was a valid use, even if that was what you really were doing, it was still a valid use because this is what the Lord would want. So if I bring it to a point here, what the Lord is telling us is that we as adult children have a responsibility towards our aging parents. And we cannot neglect them just because it's an inconvenience or it's a cost factor. Now, truthfully, many families will be confronted with this idea of caring for aging parents. Now, watch what I'm about to say next. How this looks, how this works in your life will vary from family to family, situation to situation. Now, sometimes this confront, this dealing with aging parents, caring for aging parents, will vary from spending more time with them because they need you to drive them somewhere, they need you to take to the doctor, they need you to cut their grass, they need you to take care of physical things at home, and it's time, and it goes to the other extreme where they'll have to move in with you, and you got to, you know, the circle of life came back around. They were changing your diaper and helping you go to the bathroom, and now you're doing the same for them because that's the physical condition they're in. So this is a part of honoring our parents. Now, again, it'll be different from family to family, even from parent to parent. There is no set way. I cannot tell you that the Bible dictates a specific line of action, like you must do X, other than you're honoring them and you're taking care of them. But what that means is it's different. With my mom, when she got up and she started dealing with dementia and stuff, we already kind of noticed that. My stepfather died. She was supposed to move in up here with us. At the last minute, my mom said, I don't want to move north. She was very nice about it. She said, I was there, we were sitting on the front porch. She said, Denny, I want to ask you something. I said, sure, Mom. She said, how mad are you going to be if I don't move in with you and I move in with Homer? Homer's my younger brother. I said, Mom, I'm not forcing you to do anything. You have a choice in this. I want you to do what you want to do, and I want you to be taken care of. That's only my only dog in this race, only horse in this race, is that you are taken care of. I said this to her. You have to understand, you can't move around a whole bunch of times. You're going to sell your property. You're going to take that, and you're going to invest it into the next part of however that's going to work out. You can't just keep moving around. So you need to make a decision, and it's going to be kind of probably a long-term decision. So she made a decision to move in with my brother, and it was what it was. She went down pretty fast. So it was different. Now with my mother-in-law, they moved up from Tennessee, and my wife was much more hands-on. The week that she died, she was over our house twice, I think. It's a different situation. So there's no cut and dried other than it's your parents. You take care of them because that's what you're supposed to do as a grown child. You care for your aging parents. So how this works in a family will be different based on a parent's needs and the children's abilities. So I can't give you a cut and paste. I can just tell you that you need to do the best you can with the Lord's help. And your parents need to know that you're trying to do your best for them. But I tell you this, no child should purposely neglect the needs of their parents out of selfishness. So, well, what you're talking about, Pastor White, is going to be quite a sacrifice. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what we're talking about. Just like parents sacrifice time and money in raising the children, so too children would need to sacrifice time and money in caring for the parents. Back to that circle of life. This is how we honor them. We obey them as much as we can, and when we can't, we let them know that we love them, and just something as an adult child I cannot do for you, but I love you, and in no way I'm trying to show any disrespect to you. So we honor our parents by obeying them. We honor our parents by valuing their teaching, and not just by, and I think part of that is by living by those teachings, but also saying to them, this is what you taught me. Thank you that you taught me these things. You're prizing it. You're showing value to it. And then we honor our parents by caring for their needs. Why? Because we value them and we prize them. Now we're moving to the third part, which is the last part of this particular lesson here about children, but we'll do that, Lord willing, the next time we meet on Wednesday night. All right, let's pray. We'll have a prayer, and then we'll have a short business meeting that follows. Father, I pray now that you'd help us as we think about our parents and trying to honor them.